I know it's going to be a good day when my job is to convince you to actually do the things that we've been singing about all morning. So it's already come out of your mouth. You've already sang it. I'm going to try to convince you that it's actually important enough to go and do it this week. So, happy 2025. I am excited. I'm excited about the new year. I really am. And I'm excited for what God has in store in this year. And it is my prayer, I've been praying for you and for us here at Sunrise, that this year is big. I'm expecting it, and I hope you're expecting something. I just honestly hope you're expecting something more than nothing. Because sometimes we get caught lowering our standards, lowering our vision, and lowering our eyes, lowering our hearts, and lowering our faith. So we're going to do some lifting today and this year. So let's go to our Father in prayer, because we won't get anything done on our own. Our Father in heaven, we're going to ask that you draw us deeper this year. And we're going to confess to you that we would be fools to give up our faith. So I pray, Lord, that as we strain, as we pursue, I ask, Father, that you will be clear. I ask, Father, that you will show yourself in ways that we have not seen or even imagined. I pray, Father, that this year our faith will grow in ways that it has not grown before. Father, we have some young Christians and believers in our number. I pray, Lord, that they will learn this year more to give you their lives. And Father, we've got some mature believers that I pray this year you will refresh us, that you will stretch us, that you will point out the ways in which we've gotten lazy. I pray, Lord, that you will strengthen us for the journey. Father, we thank you for the love that you have shown us in your Son. And we ask for the strength to walk with him to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week we read from Philippians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul is actively pursuing Jesus Christ, actively pursuing his faith, actively pursuing the resurrection from the dead. Your English translation says, I press on. I press on. I press on. I don't like it. I like the actual Greek translation. Actively pursue. Press on allows us to sit in a chair and get lethargic and get lazy. I press on. Yeah, I endure. I'll put up with it. I'll deal with whatever I have to deal with until Jesus comes back. But that's not what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, I will actively pursue. And church, I cannot think of a better theme, a better idea, and a better goal for you and I here at Sunrise Church of Christ in the year 2025 to get up and actively pursue. Now, this is going to catch us all in different places. I realize that. I understand that. But some aspects of our life, we've just gotten lethargic, we got lazy, or just stuck, like we're spinning wheels or just coasting, like we set the cruise control on the highway and we're just going along, Scenery's the same every day. We tend to live our lives kind of like our commute to work. I know the way. I don't expect anything weird to happen. It's just a part of my day, a part of my existence, and it'll get me to where I need to be or where I don't want to be or where I hope to be. Church, this year, I want us to shake off any lethargy, any rust, any barnacles, pick your analogy, dust, whatever we have allowed to sit on our souls. I want us to shake that off and fully realize the life that God has called us to in Jesus Christ and get moving. Get moving. I have high hopes for this year. You may not. I hope to change your mind. It may take a few weeks, so come back. Come back next Sunday. It may take several weeks, so make plans for 2025. This morning, though, it's a new year. It's a beginning. It's a start. And you and I are not going to be able to move forward unless we have a good foundation and a good starting point. If we are not facing the right direction when we start our journey, we're going to get lost. So today we're going to talk about our beginning, our starting point, where we need to start from. And Chris read for us in Psalm chapter 4. And David in this song, he says, look, joy is found when our focus is on what we have instead of what we don't have. And we forget that. Because we get to actively pursuing those things in this world that we think, oh, well, once that happens, okay, I can breathe. Or once I achieve that, then I'll be happy. Right? And we all fall into this trap. But joy is our starting place. It's not our destination. Joy is where we are. Because God is the one who fills us with joy. We're not going to get there someday and say, oh boy, I can't wait to get to heaven because then I'll finally experience joy. No. I'm going to get to heaven because God has already put joy in my heart. He has already provided. He has already given me the foundation that I need to follow the life of Jesus in faith. If I'm looking for that joy, well, I'm going to be faithful to God, and I'm going to try to be like Jesus, and maybe someday He'll give me that joy that they're always talking about. You're going to get lost. And you might give up. And you might become one of those fools who forget that it's worth it. And so God begins with joy. He puts it in there first. And then he says, now that you have that, now you can begin your journey. And so back in Psalm, before I go over there, anybody remember the Greek word for press on? Actively pursue. Anybody remember the Greek? What? Almost. It does. It sounds like our missionary's last name. Dioko. Dioko. D-I-O-K-O. That's our verb. Active. Dioko. D-I-O-K-O, actively pursue. That's right. In Psalm chapter 4, or Psalm 4, we sang the song, that's how I know you know it. Answer me when I call, God. Answer me when I call. You've given me relief when I was in distress. I was in trouble, I cried out to you, and you showed up. You answered, you were there for me, and that's what God does for us. He shows up, and He provides. The Lord hears when you call. And go down to verse 7, and maybe you need to underline, maybe you need to highlight, maybe you need to get up every morning this week and read Psalm 4:7. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. David confesses to God, you have put more joy in my heart than anything this world has to offer. I'm not chasing joy. I'm not seeking joy somewhere else because God has already given it to me. He's already filled me up. He has given me a firm foundation and a healthy starting place for a life of faith. He has filled my heart with joy. And this morning, we're going to see how to deal with the situation when we don't see that joy, when we don't live that joy, when we don't experience that joy. Because the enemy wants to come along and say, oh, I'll take that. Well, you had it, but I'll take it. And it starts as simple and as silly as, anybody's grandparents ever played the Got Your Nose game? Anybody ever fall for that? Just, oh, got your nose. Sometimes it starts just in a silly little way, just like that. Got your joy. It's right here. See? Where's my joy? What happened to it? Who took it? The enemy says, I'll take it. Because if the enemy can wreck what you're supposed to be standing on for the beginning of the journey, he doesn't have to worry about you anymore. If he wrecks your foundation, you're done. You're cooked. You're toast. You're not getting anywhere. And he knows it. So, I mean, I won't ask for you to raise your hand. But you know the times in life or the things that steal joy from you. You know your triggers. I don't say them out loud. You know those things that just make you go, boom, gone. Right? The things, the people, the situations, the troubles, where our joy just, it's just out the window. It's gone. Where'd it go? I mean, I woke up fine, but now, fill in the blank happened and I'm done. Joy is a gift from God that he provides that the world cannot offer. And it is it any wonder that the enemy is going to go after it, guns blazing, with all his might? Because if he can take our foundation, if he can take that joy out of our hearts and out of our lives and just get us going, oh, yeah, well, all right, I'm going to try to do right. I'm going to try to be good. I'm going to try to follow Jesus. I'm going to try all these things, but oh, at the end of the day, I feel as lousy as I did as when I got up, and it's just a slog. It's just heavy. And I'm doing these things because I know I'm supposed to do these things, but I don't feel it. I'm not filled. Church, we have to start with the joy of the Lord. We have to receive that gift that he has given us and know that it is better than anything this world has to offer. Because too often, you and I set aside the joy of the Lord and we start looking for something in a place that it cannot be found. I'll be full when? Or I'll be complete or filled with joy. I'll be joyful when this happens. And we're lost. We're done. We're done. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So, say it every day. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. God, you have put joy in my heart. So what do I have to do? What if I'm not there? Again, receive. Receive. This is faith. What is faith? But to hear the word of God, to hear the promises of God, and receive the gifts that he provides. That's where we're starting. We're starting by receiving the joy that he gives us. We're going to turn over to John chapter 15. And church, I want you to know this. Just like David confesses in Psalm 4, we trust God because he provides, he protects, and the only thing that we lack this year in 2025 are going to be found in him. You're not going to find something else out there that's going to complete, fulfill, bring joy. It's not out there. It's in him. We live it here. We're going to experience things out there, but that's not where we are. Where we are is with our Father in heaven. And what we have is a gift, a spiritual gift, a heavenly gift that is greater than anything in all of creation. In John chapter 15, Jesus would say such amazing things and such difficult things. Let me get there. John chapter 15, go to verse 7. We're going to read a couple verses from these chapters in John's gospel, and this is when Jesus is getting ready for the cross. He's come to an end. They've followed him. They've listened to him. They've seen him. They've experienced everything he has to offer. And now he's getting those people that were closest to him, he's getting them ready for his presence to be different. And he says in John chapter 15, go down to verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. All right, so Jesus himself gives us it's not a trick, but it's a secret, okay? He gives us a secret of how we're going to have complete joy, how we are going to have hearts filled with the joy of God. He gave it to us right there, all right? So we got to see it, and we have to understand it. Jesus says, I obey the Father, and my joy is complete. He says, my joy is full. Everything I need in my heart when it comes to joy is completely provided by God because I obey him. And then he gives us that word, that five-letter word. Sounds like abide. I don't know what else sounds like abide. Sorry. Abide. Abide in my love. Church, if we are going to receive the gift of joy in our hearts, we have to abide in the love that God shows for us. Now, what does that verb mean? What does that verb mean? Yep. That verb means make your home there. Live in it. Okay? You're not going to have a heart filled with joy if you just visit God's love. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. You and I are not going to be filled with the joy that God gives if we just have visiting hours with God's love. Right? It doesn't work. You and I can't just go, okay, well, all right, Sunday morning, we're all here, it's all good, yeah, everything's good, and I'm just going to visit God's love. But then I got to go back and I got to face my life, and I got to face my issues, and I got to face my struggles, and I got to face what I'm lacking, and I got to face my pain, and I got to face my suffering, and I got to face my job, and I got to face... No. Jesus says, abide, make your home in God's love. That's where you are. That's where you live. That's where you are completely present and surrounded by God's love. Man, I had a hard day today. Yeah, but does God still love you? Yeah, he sure does. We're suffering through this difficult situation. Yeah, but does God still love you? He does. He does. You know the love of your spouse, right? If you are blessed to be married right now. It's a good thing, right? It's a wonderful thing. It's a joyful thing. You come home, you're like, hey, here's somebody who loves me. You have kids. They look at you. They love you. And the love of your kids. And you're like, grandkids. And they love you and they tell you and they hug you. And that's real. I am loved. Okay, it all has meaning. It all has purpose. You get up and you go do what you got to do because people love you and you love them. And that's what Jesus says. We're going to be able to get through all of this because you make your home in the Father's love. And when you do that, your joy may be full, complete. I'm not lacking. I'm not looking. I'm not woe is me. I'm not procrastinating. I'm not pushing it off. I'm not saying, oh, the life of following Jesus is someday we're all going to be happy when we're in heaven and it's all fixed. That's not what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to put faith in our hearts so that you and I could make our home in the love of the Father now. And church, that's what's going to make sunrise different in 2025 when we realize the Word of God and the difference it makes in our life now. He has put eternity in our hearts. And it didn't put it there to say, oh, well, good, now you have something to look forward to. No, it puts it in your heart. It's yours, just like His joy. It's yours. It looks like this today. Is it going to look like something else on the day when Jesus returns? Yes, it is. Again, all of last year when we were thinking about Jesus and His relationship with God was Jesus comes to earth and He dwells in the flesh, right? He takes on the form of man. Did that make Him any less? No, it didn't. It didn't make Him any less. It gave Him a different form. Same thing. It's the same thing. Jesus says, my joy is complete because it's from the Father. I listen to what He says. I do what He says. My heart's full. I have all the joy that I could possibly imagine. He's about to go and die. He's about to go to Calvary. He's about to have nails driven through His flesh. He is about to inhale for the last time. And He says, my joy is full. I want you to have that too. I want you to have that as well. When we obey Jesus and we make our home in His love, our joy will be full. And that means we need nothing else to be filled with joy. Church, you can face everything when God's love is the only thing you need to be filled. And that's a great test. We can all do it right here. You can do it right now, right here. What do I need today to be filled with joy? There's only one answer. It's God's love. That's it. That's all we need. God loved you so much that He gave His Son to die in your place so that you don't have to. So the songs get just a little bit louder and heartfelt, more heartfelt. The praise and the thanksgiving are more true as we realize, wow, I didn't deserve any of this. And God looked at me and said, I'm going to give my Son right here. I'm going to have Him come down and I'm going to have Him suffer and pay the price for every bad thing that you ever do. That's my gift to you. And we forget, don't we, that somehow the gift of God, Jesus Christ, becomes less to us, right? As we live our lives avoiding sin, as we walk in righteousness, the sacrifice of Jesus, it becomes less, doesn't it? Our hearts grow cold. We love less because it's not as fresh, right? I mean, when we were fresh sinners and we were coming out of that water and we were baptized into Jesus Christ, we knew. We're like, oh yeah, woohoo, I made a mess. I know how much He had to work to save me from my sins. But as we get to walking in righteousness, and now we've been Christians for a while, and yeah, God's sacrifice, it doesn't have to be as powerful today, because I'm pretty good. I'm doing what He says. I'm staying out of a lot of trouble. So, you know, the sacrifice just, it becomes less real to us. And then we just get complacent. And then we get lethargic. And then we stop pursuing. I already have. Why do I need to pursue? Well, that's why we started last week in Philippians chapter 3. Because the Apostle Paul said, here's the trick. I forget what's behind me and I actively pursue what is ahead. I got to forget this. I got to forget this. Let's go one chapter ahead to John chapter 16. Because here, Jesus brings the resurrection into the picture. Again, something wonderful to look forward to. I look forward to it. I know you look forward to it. And he is getting them ready. And he is saying, guys, look, you got to understand. I'm about to die. I'm about to die. And the world, the enemy, they're going to celebrate because they think they won. They think they won. But your sorrow will turn into joy. So you're filled with joy, and even at your worst moment, guess what? The end of that story is also joy. So my beginning is joy, and my ending is joy. And so Jesus says we can handle this. Let's look at verse 19, John 16, 19. Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said, is this what you're asking yourselves, what I meant by saying a little while you won't see me, and again a little while and you will see me? Truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. So Jesus says, look, the enemy is about to think that he wins. The enemy is about to think that he gets one over on God. He thinks he somehow tricked God, he defeated God, and he took his son. Ha ha, I got his son. Now what are you going to do? Well, see, here's the thing, church. If we start seeing the devil for how impotent and powerless he truly is, when the devil thinks he has a victory, guess what? It is no more powerful than, got your nose. That's it. That's it. When my foundation is joy, when my heart is completely filled with joy because of the love God has for me, all the enemy has is, got your nose. Don't fall for it. Don't be a fool. Don't be a fool. If you belong to God, if you are saved by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, then the enemy no longer has any power over you unless you choose to give it to him. The enemy's lost. The enemy's lost. And like a child that doesn't get their way, all they can do is thrash about. Right? That's it. Or, you know, when they get really upset. You ever get one? Anybody? Ooh, anybody getting those anymore? Where they throw themselves on the ground and just kick their feet and just, they have no real power, so what can they do? They can lash out. They can scream. They can cry. They can't control anything. All they got is, you know, themselves to throw around. But again, it may sting for a minute. It may be difficult. And if you were a follower of Jesus back when this was being lived out in the flesh, when Jesus goes to the cross and you're standing there going, what? I mean, not only do I love this guy, and was he the greatest guy I ever met, but what? I mean, I believe that he is the Son of God. I believe that he came to fix everything. How can he fix everything when he's hanging up there? How can he fix everything when we carry his body and put it in the ground just like any other funeral? How can he do anything? What does Jesus tell him? You're going to cry. But your tears will turn to joy. Why? Because the grave is not the end of his story. Because of the resurrection from the dead. And so let's see, what verse? 20 again. Truly I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also, you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. In that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you'll receive that your joy may be full. And look, church, we weren't there. We use our imaginations and we read the stories and we try to put ourselves to experience the anguish and the pain and the cost of the sacrifice that Jesus made for all of us. But we put our hearts and our faith in that reality. And Jesus says it's going to be difficult, it's going to be hard, but it's okay. It's okay because sorrow is not the end of your story. So God has filled my heart with joy, and whatever I'm going through, the end of my journey is joy. So how do you think I should be actively pursuing these things? With joy. With joy. God has saved me from death. Jesus paid the price for me. He tasted death. He went through all that suffering so I don't have to. He did all that for me. So my heart is filled with joy. And guess what? Even when life stinks, you know, by my wisdom and my account, and I'm going through something difficult, that's okay. I am pursuing the faith of Christ. I am pursuing to trust God enough because I know how the story ends. And the story ends with joy. So I began in joy and I end in joy. There it is. There it is. God's put that in my heart. He's put that in my heart, and so I will actively pursue these things. Let's turn back over to Philippians. I want us to look at chapter 4. All right, here's the practical. Here's the practical. So far we've looked at what has been done for us and the reality of the situation. Then the Apostle Paul, he'll continue in this letter in Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 4. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord on Sundays? Always. Rejoice in the Lord on birthdays? Always. Rejoice in the Lord when everything's good? Always. Rejoice in the Lord when everything's bad? Always. Rejoice in the Lord always. And Paul, you can just, you know, he's writing this letter to the church that's divided. They're fighting with each other. And his answer is, hey, rejoice. Rejoice. Come on now. I don't want to rejoice. Now look, imagine this, all right? Imagine here, we're here this morning, okay? We're here this morning. I'm just going to pick on them. I'll just pick on them. We're here this morning, and Luke, yeah, I know. Luke has got a beef with Wyatt. And they're just, they cannot get along for anything. And this side of the auditorium, we're Team Luke, okay? And this side of the auditorium, we're Team Wyatt. And the two just can't get along. And yeah, we'll worship together, but we won't like it. And they can't figure things out, and they can't work together, and they can't get along, and the church is just divided down the middle, and that's the church that Paul writes to. And Paul says, hey, everybody, rejoice always. Not while they're here. And so Luke's side says, well, we'd rejoice if Wyatt's side wasn't here. And Wyatt's side said, oh, we could rejoice. We finally got rid of Luke and all his supporters. No. No. Paul says into all that, to both sides, rejoice always. Rejoice always. Well, I don't have any reason to rejoice. Oh, you are not looking. You are not listening. You are not paying attention. You're not living by faith. You've given it up. And we do. We say, I can't find a reason to rejoice. My life stinks right now. It's so hard. It's so difficult. It's so painful. It's such a struggle. I can't see the rejoicing. I can't find the reason to rejoice. Well, Paul's going to help you out, okay? He says it again, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Calm down and let everyone see how well you are doing. Well, how am I supposed to be doing well? Because God is with you. God is with you. The Lord is at hand. He's right here. 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 Man, it's going to be a tough day. Yeah, but God's going to be with you. My heart's really broken because of what I've just gone through. Yes, but God is with you. I don't see how this is going to come out in a good way. God's with you. Rejoice always. There's always reason to rejoice. Now, because the Lord is with us, look what it says in verse 6. Oh, yeah, I know. I'm scared to say it out loud. You know what's coming, don't you? Don't be anxious about anything. What? You're going to take that from me, Lord? Come on, anxiety is all I got. I mean, that's my identity. I identify as scared and anxious. Do not be anxious about anything. Ugh. How, all right, superhero Christians, how are you supposed to do that? How am I not supposed to be anxious about anything? Well, keep reading. What does he say? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. What's prayer? Just easy, easy answer. It's not a trick. What's prayer? Talking to God. Thank you. What's supplication? What's supplication? You better know this one. I hope. What is supplication? I'm talking to God, asking God. I'm humble before God. I put myself underneath Him. It's the only way you're going to trust Him to take care of you, right? If you don't think God can take care of you, guess what you've just done? If you do not believe that God can take care of you and your situation, you have just made yourself more powerful than God. You really want to go there? Well, Michael, you just don't understand what I've been through. You don't understand my suffering. You don't understand. Really? Is your pain bigger than God? Is your situation greater than God? It's not, but we live like it is. With prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Lord, thank you so much. I don't deserve anything else. You have blessed me. I'm breathing. You have given me a family. You have given me health and strength. I can smell you're going to give me lunch today. I got everything I could ask for. I mean, I got this sweater on. So when I was outside this morning, my ears were a little chilly. But other than that, I'm all warmed up now. In fact, I'm pretty warm. You've given me everything, Lord. Thank you. And I need you here. I need you here. And I thank you for being with me. And I thank you that I don't have to be anxious like everybody else that does not know you. I thank you that I don't have to be a godless heathen. And anxiety starts to... Which, again, I realize what I'm talking about and who I'm talking to. Anxiety is one of our sacred cows. It's one of our idols. We love being worked up over stuff, right? We love putting our life and our situation and saying, yeah, but I have reason to worry because this is real. Well, you might. The only question is the thing you're worried about bigger than God? So here's the solution. Here's the solution. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. I'm going to take it to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I'm worried about this. I need you to take it. Lord, I'm anxious about this. I need you to carry it. Lord, this is bothering me. I need you to handle this. And I'm going to give it to you in prayer, and I'm going to humble my heart before your power and your throne. If you are anxious about something, I would suggest a little knee time. As in you, on your knees in prayer saying, Father, forgive me because I made my thing bigger than you. It's called idolatry. It's a sin. He's not a fan. I'm not rejoicing in all things. I am worshiping this thing that I have made bigger than you in my life. And I'm sorry. And I'm going to re-give it to you today. And I'm going to humble my heart and accept your peace that fills my head and my soul. I'm going to accept the peace that you give me. All right, now what? Before anything bad creeps in. I'm there. I've repented. I've done my part. I've fixed it. Oh, I see it. It's coming back. What do I do? You read the next four verses. That's what you do. Finally, brothers, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, that's what you think about. How much of your day is spent thinking about things that are not praiseworthy? Got your calculator out? My guess is it's way too much. And Paul says, you want that peace? You want that joy? You want to have that calming fill your entire life? Guess what? If it's good, that's your focus. But, well, how can I think about the good when there's all this? If it's worthy of praise, that's your focus. That's what you think about. You want the peace of God? You want your heart to be filled with joy? Then guess what? You got to put yourself where that stuff lives. You have to abide. You have to make your home. You have to actively pursue. You can't sit over here and say, all right, God, come and take and fix and fix all this stuff so I can be filled with joy. And I'm going to sit back over here until you fix it. Well, he hadn't fixed it. I mean, I'm afraid of hell enough. I'll keep going to church. But man, I'm miserable to be around. I mean, I'm going to keep on playing the game because someday it'll all be good. But it's going to be miserable till then. And guess what? Everybody that encounters me, they're going to be a little bit more miserable too. So yay, follow me to heaven. A little too real, isn't it? Yeah, it is. It is. If there's good, that's what you think about. If there's anything worthy of praise, that's what you focus on. Church, when we start putting these things, the thing, the issue, the worry, when we put these things in between us and God, we are now worshiping a false idol. And we are saying it loud and proud. God is less powerful than that, whatever that is. God is not bigger than that. Because if God was bigger than that, he would be worthy of all my praise, and all my praise would be to him. When I forget how big he is, and I make that bigger, then that gets all my praise. Praise doesn't have to be positive. We can worship negative things, and we become negative worshipers. Don't make the thing bigger than God. So how are we filled with joy? How can we be at peace? Has God given you anything good? That's where my mind goes. God, this is really tough. Yeah, but have I taken care of you so far? Yes, you have. Okay, then. Why don't we think about that? Count your blessings. Sometimes it's as simple as that. Get up. What has God given me today? What has God provided me today? Well, I got up. We've lost some of our older brothers and sisters in the faith. But you know, you notice at a certain age when you say hello to them and their standards of joy is, I'm alive. And some of us younger Christians go, what? I can't be that simple. At some point, it gets there. I'm thankful to be alive. The Lord let me wake up today. It's a good day. But yeah, but what about this? What about that? No. The Lord let me wake up today. It's a good day. Right? All right. Last thing. Hebrews 12. Since we are actively pursuing, here we go. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. This is a good actively pursuing. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Church, we are in a race. And it is time, 2025, to quit running and training with a weighted jacket. It's silly. It is silly to put on your full football pads and then go run track. It's silly to put on full football pads and play basketball. It's not going to work, is it? No. But that's how you and I are actively pursuing Jesus. Two things we got to let go. Did you see what they were? Every what? Two things. What was the first one? Every weight. Every burden. Everything heavy in your life, put it down and give it to the Lord. That covers anything that anyone has ever done to you. Anything that anyone else is doing to you, anything that you're struggling with, anything that you're worried about, anything that is causing you to slump in the shoulder, to slow down and to stop pursuing Jesus, every weight, and it clings so closely. And then number two, sin. Everything that they've done to me and everything that I have done, I am putting that stuff down. God has called me to actively pursue Jesus Christ. Well, how do I do that? Just like Jesus Christ. He looked at what was ahead, and it was horrible. It was Calvary. And he looked at it and said, again, our English, we've talked about this before, our English translation says he despised the shame. Despise doesn't mean like, it means he lowered its value in his eyes. He made it less. He made it small. How could you make the cross small? How can you make your execution small? You look at the joy on the other side. I'm going to quit while you're ahead. I had more. If you're interested, Nehemiah chapter 8, it's a kick, all right? Nehemiah chapter 8, we won't even go there. I'll just steal the quote. We sing the song, and that's where it's at. I'll let you read it this afternoon. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8. All right? We are actively pursuing everything that God is and has to offer in 2025, and we got to start with a full tank of joy. We got to start with whatever he's given us. And the joy that he has put within us is bigger and greater and more powerful than anything that you and I are going to face this year. That's faith. Do not make an idol or a false god out of anything that might get in your path. Do not do it. Keep your faith. Keep your eyes fixed on the prize. Okay? We got a race to run. And when you get bogged down, whether it's your own sin or just something that is just clinging so closely and you've been carrying it in your race for so long, it's just tried to become a part of you. Done. And if you're like, Michael, I have prayed for years to get that weight off, then maybe it's time to reach out to a brother or sister in Christ and say, help me, because I can't do this on my own. I've tried. There is no shame in that. That's why God gave us one another. We all have different gifts. All of our faith is not equal. It's why we reach out. It's why we pray for one another. It's why we help one another and encourage one another. Okay? But here's the thing. We all have the same starting point. We all have the same finish line. We don't all have the same journey. But we're all in this together, and the Lord is with us. So let's be filled with joy. 2025 is going to be good. It's going to be good. It's either going to be really good or some of us are just going to quit. Either way, it's going to be good. Right? My fear is some of us have already started to quit in our hearts anyway. And we're either going to make it real or we're going to give it up. I want you to make it real because I want you at the finish line. Don't give up. Don't give up. So if you need our help or you need some strength or you need to start with that joy and you need to lay your weight in sin and put it down at the feet of Jesus and become baptized in His name for the forgiveness of your sins, today's your day.